The title of this sermon is How to Make the Maximum Impact. How to Make the Maximum Impact. One day when Jesus was teaching, he found himself surrounded by a large group of people. And these people were far from God. They were sinners. They were irreligious people, pagans. And off to the side, as Jesus was teaching, there was a small group of religious leaders, Pharisees and Sadducees, who were criticizing Jesus for hanging out with those kinds of people. And Jesus knew what they were thinking, so Jesus did something he'd never done before. He told three parables in a row, all having to do with the same topic. Three parables that all taught the same lesson. First, he told about a man who owned 100 sheep, and one of those sheep wandered away. So he left the 99 sheep to find the one sheep. And when he found it, he called all of his friends together, threw a big party. Second, Jesus told a story about a woman who had 10 coins, and she lost one of her coins. And so she lit a lamp, and she swept, and she turned over the furniture, and she searched relentlessly until she found it. Then she called her friends, and she threw a big party. Third, Jesus told the story of a man who had two sons, and the youngest son left home and asked for his inheritance early. And he left home and went to a faraway country so he could spend his money partying. And eventually he ran out of money, and his friends ran away from him, and he found himself in a very, very tough spot. Barely enough money to find anything to eat. And so he came to his senses at that point and realized, you know, even if I went back home and apologized to my dad, I would be better off as one of his hired servants. And so that's what he did. He went back home, and Jesus says that while he was still far away, his father saw him from a distance walking toward the house, and his father ran. And his father grabbed him and embraced him and hugged him, and the son tried to apologize, but the father said, "Listen, I'm so glad that you're home. My son was lost, but now he's found." And the father threw a huge party, a huge celebration to celebrate that his lost son was found. Now, these three stories in Luke chapter 15 all have two truths. The first truth is that something of great value was missing. Something of great value was missing. Jesus was communicating that lost people matter to God. Unbelievers matter to God. Unchurched people matter to God. Sinners matter to God. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," not just Christians, he loves all people. We have to remember as Christians that unbelievers are not the enemy, they're the mission, they're our target audience, they're our goal. We don't come to church to get away from unbelievers. The church exists to equip Christians to reach unbelievers. The church is not a hotel for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. The church is not a cruise ship where Christians go to relax and be served. The church is a rescue ship. Lost people matter to God, and they should matter to us. The second truth that emerges from this parable, or these parables in Luke 15, is that which was missing was important enough to warrant an all-out search. That which was missing was important enough to warrant an all-out search. Jesus was communicating that not only do lost people matter to God, but that God is on an urgent sacrificial mission to rescue these lost people. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." And then in Acts 1:8, Jesus gave all Christ followers that same mission. He said, "And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." God is on an urgent sacrificial mission to reach lost people, and he's called all of us to be a part of that mission. In fact, God accomplishes his mission through us. This task of trying to reach others for Christ, to bring lost people into a saving relationship with Jesus, is called evangelism. Evangelism is taking the message of the good news of Jesus Christ to people and explaining it to them in a way that they can get in on it if they want to. And it's one of the most important privileges and opportunities and responsibilities that God has given to every Christian. Think about it. Someone could spend eternity in heaven because you were obedient to share the gospel with them, to witness to them, to evangelize. On the flip side, someone could spend eternity in hell because you refused to be a witness for Jesus, because you wanted to stay in your comfort zone, in your safety bubble. God wants to use you to witness. Think of all the benefits that people receive whenever you lead them to Christ. They become children of God. Their bodies become the temple of God. All of their sins are forgiven. They begin to experience the peace and the love of God. They receive God's direction and purpose for their lives. They experience the power of God to change their lives. They have assurance of salvation. Think of the benefits that you receive whenever you are a witness for Jesus. Witnessing will stimulate your spiritual growth. It'll lead you to pray and study God's word. It'll encourage you to depend on Christ. You'll experience the tremendous privilege and honor of representing Jesus to the world. But the question is how? How do you witness to your friends? How can you make the maximum impact? In Matthew 5, 13 through 16, Jesus teaches a formula for being an effective witness, for evangelizing effectively. It goes like this: HP plus CP plus CC equals MI. That sounds like an algebraic formula, but it's not. HP stands for high potency. CP stands for close proximity. CC stands for clear communication. And MI stands for maximum impact. High potency plus close proximity plus clear communication equals maximum impact. Now let's begin with maximum impact, which means having the greatest spiritual influence possible on those around you. That's God's will for you. But how? How can you have the maximum impact? Well, let's look at Jesus' words in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." First of all, Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Well, one of the things that salt does is that it creates thirst. It makes people thirsty. That's why bars offer free pretzels and peanuts, because it makes people thirsty. It makes people drink more. When Christians walk intimately with Christ and when they live an obedient Christian life, they create spiritual thirst in the people around them. This is called high potency. Salt is potent when it tastes like salt, and Christians are effective. They make the maximum impact when they act like Christ. The more intimate with Christ you are, the more obedient you are, the more Christ-like you are, the more potent you will be. That leads us back to the formula. High potency, or HP, plus CP. What does CP stand for? CP stands for close proximity. For salt to be effective, it needs high potency and close proximity. In order to impact people who are outside the family of God, you need to be Christ-like, but you also need to have close proximity. You need to get close to people if you're hoping to reach them. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus said that salt that has lost its flavor is worthless. It won't create thirst. It won't spice up food. It won't prevent decay. If you don't act like Christ, you're worthless as a witness, as an evangelist. But at the same time, you can be very salty, or salt can be very, very potent. It can be very salty, but if salt is not on the food that people eat, then it's worthless. In the same way, you can be a strong, strong Christian. You can be very Christ-like in your attitude and actions, but if you're not close to the people that you're trying to reach, then you'll be ineffective. You won't make any impact. So high potency plus close proximity plus CC, or clear communication. Jesus said, not only are you the salt of the earth, but you are the light of the world. Now, what does light do? Well, light makes things visible and helps us see them for what they really are. The biblical idea of light is that of clearly and attractively presenting God's truth to others, illuminating it in order to show it for what it really is. Jesus wants you to be like a light that cannot be hidden. Nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl, and Jesus doesn't want you to hide your faith. He wants you to proclaim to everyone you meet the gospel, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now notice the last part of Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Jesus says, "Let your light shine so that when people see your good deeds, they will glorify your heavenly Father." In other words, don't just be salty. Don't just be a Christian who acts like Christ and who does good deeds. That won't save anyone. That won't impact anyone. That won't help anyone get to heaven. I mean, you'll be a nice person, but that won't help anyone to get to heaven. Instead, let your light shine. Share the message of the good news. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people will understand the significance of your good deeds and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. So high potency plus close proximity plus clear communication equals maximum impact. Now let's talk about some how-tos. Let's get a little more specific. First of all, let's talk about high potency. High potency. How do you attract people to Christ? How do you live in such a way that you create spiritual thirst in people? You have to act like a Christian. In order to lead people to Christ, you have to act like a Christian. Joe Aldrich wrote that Christians are to be good news before they share the good news. Your actions and your attitudes will either draw people to Jesus or push people away from Jesus. Now, how do you act in such a way that you draw people to Jesus? Well, obviously, you need to live a life of holiness and obedience and integrity and purity. But let me give you three character traits that may not be what you were expecting. But these three character traits can make you highly potent, very, very salty. The first is authenticity. Be authentic or be sincere. That is, be forthright about failure. A lot of Christians think that if they're going to be an effective witness, they need to hide their failures, pretend like they don't mess up, pretend like they never fail, pretend like they always act perfectly as a Christian. But unbelievers see through that. They know that you're not perfect. What's more impressive to an unbeliever, what gets their attention, what attracts them to Jesus, is when a Christian owns up to their failures. It's whenever, when you mess up, when you lose your temper, when you fall short of God's standards for you, whenever you admit it and you apologize, you humble yourself and you say, "Would you please forgive me? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have acted that way." That authenticity, that sincerity, that's what's attractive. So be authentic. Second, be compassionate. Be compassionate. Compassion is a synonym for mercy. It means helping the needy, relieving the pain of the suffering. Whenever you care for or serve the real needs, the legitimate needs of the lost people in your life, when you really help them with different problems that they're facing, that's very, very attractive. That's very, very salty. That creates spiritual thirst. It's been said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And then a third way to be a potent Christian, or the third character trait, be authentic, be compassionate, and then also be sacrificial. Be sacrificial. Sacrifice moves people. It melts people. When you sacrifice what is valuable to you, whether it's your time or your money or your energy, in order to bless others, in order to serve a lost person, that grabs them, it grabs their heart, it pulls on their heartstrings, it gets their attention, it causes people to listen to you, to want to hear what you have to say. So that's high potency. Be authentic, be compassionate, be sincere. Now let's talk about close proximity. Close proximity. Remember that salt is pointless unless it touches something. If you want to make an impact, then you need to build relationships. You need to be close to the people that you're trying to reach. All of us experience discomfort when someone outside of our circle of friends tries to influence us about personal significant matters. We naturally gravitate toward people we already know and trust. Friends listen to friends. So if you want to impact people, you need to build friendships with them. Establish relationships on a natural, non-threatening level. And then in the context of that relationship, then you can begin to open up about spiritual issues. You know, it's interesting that Jesus' enemies, they tried to insult him by calling him a friend of sinners. As a Christian, that's what you need to be. You need to be a friend of sinners. You need to take the time to build relationships with lost people, and then through those friendships, you'll have a non-threatening way to share Christ. And then third, let's talk about clear communication. Clear communication. Making the message clear. One of the most important principles of evangelism, to me, is that the message is more important than the messenger. The message is more important than the messenger. The power is in the message. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." If you want to make a difference for Christ, you need to know the gospel. You need to be able to clearly articulate the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me give you the gospel in 4 points. God, us, Christ, and you. This is how you can share the gospel with your friends. First of all, God. The Bible says that God created us for a love relationship with himself. But that brings us to us. What happened to us is that we sinned against God. Going all the way back to the first people, Adam and Eve, we sinned against God, and sin separates us from God. We cannot have that intimate love relationship with God with sin in our lives. And that's why Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. That separation between us and God does not just disappear when we die. It lasts for eternity. That's why the punishment for sin is eternity separated from God in hell. If we want that separation to be taken care of, something has to happen. And that brings us to Christ. In order to solve our sin problem, God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. He was punished for us, in our place, for our sins, and he rose again so that we wouldn't have to be punished, so that we could be reconciled to God, so that we can be restored in our relationship with God. And then that brings us to you. The ball is now in your court, is what you tell your friends. Now, if you will turn from your sins, if you will repent of your sins, and believe in who Jesus is and what he's done for you, then you will be forgiven of your sins and you'll be restored to your relationship with God and you'll have eternal life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. God, us, Christ, and you. Listen, you are the salt of the earth. So be salty. Act like a Christian. Be authentic. Be compassionate. Be sacrificial. Be holy. And you're the light of the world. Don't hide your light under a bowl. Shine that light. Share the gospel with everybody that you meet. Proclaim the message of Jesus and let God use you to make a maximum impact.